Welcome. You are about to take a journey to a place of the divine love within with Deborah Bouffet on the Love by Intuition show. For the next hour, allow her to prepare you in becoming a magnet for a profound love-infused relationship by identifying and focusing on solutions through love. Awaken the light within and let your essence shine. And now, here's Deborah Bouffet on Love by Intuition, all part of the Dream Vision 7 radio network.
Welcome, everyone. Bonjour, mes amis. And yes, here I am, Deborah Bouffet, founder and owner of the Dream Vision 7 radio network. If you're tuning in for the first time, we are Boston-based syndicated internet radio station with all the bells and whistles. You can listen to us wherever you are in the world, whether you're in a car, whether you're online, whether you're asking Alexa. So it's just neat. Technology can be. And then it can go the other way too, but we're focusing on the goodness. So also too, we are the media partner for the Omega Institute in Rhinebeck, New York. They are open May through October, and this year will be a full year come spring. So keep your eyes on that on the website. So we have an excellent guest. I actually was on his show via video, and you can check that out. His name is Richard Dugan, Dr. D, and he is the host of Tell Me Your Story. It's a very interesting background. He's been producing since 2007 at TMYF, and his dream has always been to syndicate Tell Me Your Story and take it on the road, traveling all parts of the world, talking with people about their living, working, and playing around and all that good stuff. So we're going to be talking with him about, he has a couple of books in the works, and one of them is Choices and Making Your Dreams Come True and How to Do That. So we're going to be talking with Richard about all kinds of things around that topic. So without further ado, welcome to the show, Richard.
Well, thank you very much. It's a pleasure to be on your program. A little different for me being on the other end of the microphone or the other side of the table, you might say.
Yes. So where it's the new year, I'm asking my guests for January, what do you see for 2022 for our society?
For our society?
Well, yes.
I'll tell you, I think what I see for our society is what our society wants. And the more people who are, like me, optimistic, who are looking for the better things in life. We've talked about this on the program many, many times about wanting to thrive rather than continue to just survive.
Mm-hmm.
That unless more people get on that bandwagon, and I honestly believe that through these kinds of programs, yours, mine, and many others, I think more people are going to get on the bandwagon, and they're going to turn things around for us as a society. Now, I think it's something that's going to span the globe. It's got to start in ourselves first, as Gandhi said, you know, be the change you want to see, and expand it out, and just continue to expand it out. And what I have seen, and I've heard about these too from many of my guests, is the great relationship upheaval, if you will, that during these last few years that's been so challenging, so stressful, so anxiety-filled, that some relationships that have been going on for a number of years are coming to an end because what they're seeing is that this relationship isn't serving me anymore. Maybe there's codependency, maybe there's whatever it is. Maybe even business relationships. I am fortunate that I have my best friend, who I got to see around Christmas back in Phoenix. He and I are still good friends, and I love seeing him. I don't know why. I love saying this. I have known him for 50 years. I'm 61. So I've known him since I was 11 years old. We grew up.
Wow.
So I think for those listening, what do you want to see in our society in 2022? Which, by the way, I've gotten this phrase that was coined by one of my guests, Peter Sterling. He's a harpist. And I have the phrase, giving people choices and knowledge of those choices to help make their dreams come true in 2022.
Very good.
Then go for it. Then make it happen. I'm going through some challenges of my own in my own personal life. And it's like, okay, my inner voice and my inner compass are telling me, you need to go this way. But my brain, my intellect, my logic says, oh, no, I don't know. You put so much into, you invested so much in, it's like, it doesn't matter because nothing's permanent anyway. It's all temporary. It's all temporary.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So
very good. Well, I thank you for answering that. I love everyone's perspective.
And
that's one of the things I like is listening. And I think that's all of us learning to listen to all the different perspectives and shift it around in your mind, and maybe you can change your beliefs. You never know. So that's also good. So now you've been interviewing for over 30 years, thousands of people, all kinds of backgrounds. But tell us a little bit about your earlier journey, because you were born legally blind.
Correct. I was, and I've been doing this for over 40 years. I started in 1979 when I was 19. I was born legally blind.
Hello, my name is David Fuller with the Division of Economic Impact, with an important statewide update regarding the new economic impact.
I'm not sure what I'm hearing in my ear, I will continue. Born with bilateral cataracts, nystagmus, and stigmatism. And I had a whole bunch of surgeries when I was a kid growing up. I still remember one surgery where they were wheeling me down the corridor to the operating room, and I was looking at the lights as they were going by. We're in the operating room, and a shout-out, I'm sure he's long since passed away, but my ophthalmologist at that time, Dr. Aiello, he went to put that rubber mask, back then they used ether, over my face, and I said, if you do this, I won't play with you anymore. but I had a lot of surgeries. I went through the phases of bullying in grade school and high school, carried big print books. I was also listening to Audible books before they were Audible. And I was also recording them. About 10 or 12 years later. But I went through school, grade school, high school, took a semester off, and then went to junior college for three semesters. And then I found this job with a radio reading service for the blind and visually impaired, you might say, ironically. And they have an oral reading test as a sidebar that you have to pass in order to be able to read the newspapers or magazines or books on the air. And most of the stuff was recorded. Well, I am 61 years of age today. I've taken the oral reading test for Sun Sounds 5 times.
Wow.
I haven't passed it yet. Now,
is it because you didn't pass that you have to keep taking it?
That's correct. You have to keep if you choose to. It's a choice. And the general manager at that time, a woman I'm still looking for, she was my GM back then, her name is Jean Joins, and she told me that I shouldn't worry about it, because professional newscasters who were coming in from the radio and TV stations in Phoenix were failing the oral reading test. So I was actually in good company.
Oh, well,
in
good.
In any event, to bring the story forward a little more quickly, in 1995, as I was working for a radio station, I moved on from Sun Sounds. I was working for a Christian radio station, and that's a whole other story in and of itself. I noticed that mm-hmm. my vision was starting to drop off a little bit. Now, up to that point, it had been pretty stable. So I saw my ophthalmologist. This was 95. And he says, well, your cataracts, they're starting to grow again. And he says, we can do one of two things. We can leave it alone and see if they'll dissipate on their own, which I thought was kind of a silly thing to say because, well, he'd already told me, hey, we're growing.
Right.
Or we can and we can do a lens implant. He wasn't going to just go in there and try to take out the cataracts. There was no point in that. So I had a lens implant on March 6th, 1996. 3696. Beautiful number. I'm into patterns, so that was very cool. And I was actually fully awake and could see everything they were doing. And so after the surgery, I and my wife at the time walked to the nearest McDonald's. I was actually up and around that day, seeing.
Mm-hmm.
I was actually, for the first time, actually able to read the restaurant menu on the panel above the teller for the first time. And shortly thereafter, I got a driver's license, which I had tried years earlier just to get a moped license. But the state of Arizona said, no, I don't think so. So all of a sudden, boom, through the medical review program, I'm living in Santa Barbara, California. I am now driving a truck and getting around. We have a travel trailer. This is now my second wife that we're together. And
yes, Rita Ma, who I looked up. Yes, so so you've had a lot of blessings, and it's amazing how practically overnight, you were able to see and drive and all these kinds of things. So how did you get back into radio because you loved it, or was it just happenstance?
Well, I never really left it. From 79 to 95, I worked for three or four stations, because I worked for the number one news station in Phoenix at the time, KTAR 620. And that is when I went to a broadcast school. It's unofficial, it's uncertified, and it's called the Larry King School of Broadcasting, because I was working for the news talk station that carried Larry King. And his style was that he never prepared because he wanted to be as fresh as his callers. So I remember the very first interview that I did. It was a book on a book the author was in, and the book was entitled Farmland or Wasteland. And it basically talked about how back in 81, 82, 83, our farmland was just being eaten alive by developers and so forth. And I remember one of the techniques that I had read about outside of the Larry King School of Broadcasting says, open up the book to the table of contents and see if you can make questions out of those titles. I thought, okay. So I wrote down 14 questions. The interview is scheduled to be 30 minutes. I asked the 14th question in the 28th minute. When the interview was over and the guest had left the studio, I said, and if this had been an hour interview, what in the heck would you have done? And that's when I threw away the notepad. And I don't have prepared questions anymore. And I say it this way. The universe asks the questions. I'm just along for the ride.
Sure. And sure. I agree with that. And it's more spontaneous and real.
Yeah. And I am... I've interviewed, I think I can honestly say, and I say this with great humility, I've interviewed thousands of people over the 40-plus years that I've been interviewing. I have most all of my interviews from Tell Me Your Story from January 1, 2018 to the present, over 600, probably fast approaching 700 interviews there, and over 62,000 listens in the 4 years. The amazing stat is that in 12 months, the last 12 months from this moment back, I have had, of those 62,000, I have had over 32,000 listens, whereas in the first 3 years, I've had 30,000. So obviously people are listening. The YouTube channel is also expanding. But I get asked quite often about retiring. And I jokingly say, well, the only retiring I'm going to do is on my truck. Okay?
Yes. One of my hosts years back when we were new, she used to tell the story about her grandfather loved radio his whole life but never worked in it, and then at 80 years old bought a terrestrial radio station. And I thought, isn't that neat at 80 years old?
Better late than never. And
yeah, if you've got the bug, you've got the bug.
If I was going to buy a radio station, because of my experience initially with my very first radio station, Sun Sounds, which provided the printed page to the visually impaired and blind. And I also found out, not just the visually impaired, how about, let's not forget, the dyslexic, okay? We have, we had in Santa Barbara an organization called Recordings for the Blind and Dyslexic, and I asked the question at first, why? You know, they're not blind. They can see. They can read. Until it was explained to me what dyslexia is. Turns out my present wife has dyslexia. And so it made perfect sense. Someone who cannot decode with their eyes, they need some assistance. So if I was to open my own radio station, it would contain a mixture of as many diverse news outlets as is possible from all perspectives, including news, information, and talk from all the different areas. I mean, I should have my PhD in eclectic studies with all of the guests, that all of the hosts that I have produced programs for have had. It's just absolutely astounding. I hope right now here in Santa Barbara at the station I'm at now, which is now an AM and FM station, KZSB, I host several programs of my, not just Tell Me Your Story. I host a program on Mondays at 9 a.m. called Skyview, where I have a good friend of mine who has been studying space aviation, astronomy, and weather since he was 7 years old. This guy's in his 60s, and he and I have known each other for probably well over 20 years. I also host a program called Farm to Table, where it had focuses on our specific farmers markets. Then I also sit in on, I produce, gosh, I can't even remember, 20 different programs a week. And some of them are on current topics of politics, some of them are on real estate, gardening, entertainment, the hospitality industry. I mean, it's just amazing. And I'm blown away by the guests that these hosts bring in, as well as the information the hosts have themselves. That's one other element, too, that I say again humbly. I am here talking to you because of the thousands of people, not just that I've interviewed, but who have had an effect and influence on my life and my career. So my hat, literally and figuratively, is off to all
of you. I agree. I agree. Through the years, I've the same, and all the hosts, whether they're new or have been on radio for years, you learn so much about yourself. You learn from them. They learn from you. You know, there's problems that are solved. There's healing that happens right on the spot. So, I mean, it's an amazing journey in radio. I have to agree with you 100%. Well, we need to take our first break, Richard. And everyone that's listening, if you want to get in touch with Richard, you can can go right on his site, richarddugan.com. And Dugan is D as in dog, U-G-A-N, Richard Dugan, all one word, .com. And you can go and listen or watch some of the videos by going on the site, but /radio show, and check that out. And you'll see me over there as well on video. And when we come back, we're going to talk about the book choices. There's four categories. Make a choice, match your words to your choice, match your actions to your words, match your personal input to your actions, and then the last one is be your choice. So we'll be back in a moment. This is a live show. If you want to call in, have a question for Richard, our number here is 833-220-1200, 833-220-1200. Bob's in the house, and he'll put you right through. We'll be back in a moment.
Experience a different yet profound healing with Reconnective Healing. Includes yet expands beyond any and all known forms of energy healing. The Reconnective Healing Spectrum is comprised of the full healing and evolutionary continuum of energy, light, and information. It allows for healings that are not just physical, not just mental, not just emotional, yet go beyond that to bring healing that includes the evolution of your very being and essence. Deborah Beauvais, trained and certified by world-renowned Dr. Eric Pearl, offers appointment hours at Seekonk Family Chiropractic in Seekonk, Massachusetts. For questions or to set up both distance or local sessions, call Deborah at 508-431-1959. Again, 508-431-1959. Or go to lovebyintuition.com. That's lovebyintuition.com.
Take a journey to a place of the divine love within with Deborah Beauvais on the Love by Intuition show, Monday through Friday at 6 p.m. and 6 a.m. Eastern. Our message is love in the purest form. The light within us all is a guide to recall our beginning, to learn to love self and humankind, and to feel the higher power of our own divinity. To attract love, one needs to be love. Come join us and step into this glorious vibration called love.
After narrowly surviving the attack on Sandy Hook Elementary, first grade teacher Caitlin Roy DeBellis was left searching for answers that would never come. Eventually, she chose to focus on questions that could be answered. How do I make sure this tragedy doesn't define us? How do we get our control back? Those two questions led her to found the 501c3 nonprofit organization Classes for Classes. When gifts poured into their classroom, she decided they would help someone else by paying it forward and being kind. This developed into a social network which allows K-8 classrooms to connect so that every student in the United States can learn these crucial lessons. Classes for Classes' mission is to build students' social-emotional intelligence by connecting them to care. All C4C projects are crowdfunded. Any teacher in the U.S. can visit classesforclasses.org. That's classes, the number 4, classes.org. Sign up today.
Looking for a fun and relaxing getaway? Omega Rest and Rejuvenation Retreats are a great way to unwind and renew your spirit. Sit and read in the garden, explore the woodland trails, or try a daily yoga or meditation class. You can stretch your body, quiet your mind, and do as much or as little as you choose. Located in Rhinebeck, New York, just 90 miles north of New York City, Omega's natural environment and quiet pace allow for extraordinary experiences to unfold. Learn more at eomega.org.
Delight your kids with an enchanting journey by reading the Paper Doll Kids children's book by Deborah Beauvais and Janine Sullivan. There's even a catchy tune, Kids for Love Song, produced by Bob Sherwood and sung by kids just like yours. The story weaves around 7 paper dolls flying around the world doing good deeds as they bring important attention to our endangered animal friends. There's even a magical ring with a universal message. Kids become interested in service projects, action through compassion, and planting seeds that nurture positive change. The Paper Doll Kids and Kids for Love Song are a production of the Kids for Love Project. Get the book now on Amazon Kindle and the song on CD Baby or iTunes.
This is Dream Vision 7 Radio Network, uniting mankind with universal love. Our shows are created from the heart, bringing each listener to a place of divine enlightenment. Breathe, relax, and enjoy. Let life flow.
And we are back, and our guest today is Richard Dugan. He is in the midst of writing a couple of books, and we are going to be talking about choices. And so tell us a little bit about why you wrote this book. I mean, based on what I've read, again, it's from Inner Growth, but share with us.
Mm-hmm. Well, the initial catalyst, as I like to say, for the book had to do with 20 years, 6 months ago, my present wife's bout with a rare form of cancer. And a sidebar, our Vedic astrologer 5 years earlier told her that in mid-July of 2001, she would have what is referred to as a death-like experience. Well, that was 16, 17, 18 of July, and she was diagnosed. Well, if that's not a death-like experience, I don't know what is. Mm-hmm. She was going to go in for surgery on the 10th of August, and I asked her this question, and I actually asked her this question this bluntly. I says, do you want to live or do you want to die? I may not like your choice, but I will support you in it, whatever it is. And, of course, she told me weeks later that she had already made that decision to live. So we went through the chemo and all of that kind of stuff, and I remember reading in many other self-help books with people going through recovery in particular, that what can really help is if you put little notes all over the house, in the drawer, underwear drawer, and in the refrigerator, and in the cabinets in the bathroom, and in this place, and pockets of a jacket that they wear a lot or something like that, just all over the place. And I thought, okay, what can I do, what can I put up that will keep her focus, not distract her, but keep her focus on wanting to live? And it's when I came up with these 5 steps for life. And obviously the first one, as you stated, is make a choice. The second one is match your words to your choice. Third is match your actions to your choice. Fourth is match your personal input to your choice. And number 5, be your choice. Now the first one, that's a tough one for a lot of people, because they may not know what choices are available to them because of a lack of education, and not necessarily formal education, that they haven't been exposed to other ways of doing things. And so it requires an individual to do a little research. You know, okay, well, what else can I do? I've had this happen to me, I've had that happen to me, I've had the other thing happen to me. Now, in my case with the visual impairment back in 95, and even before that, when I was trying to get a moped license, I finally gave up. I said, you know what? Bicycling through the age of 65 is not necessarily a bad thing. Now, back then, I was still bicycling everywhere. So I thought, hey, I'll be healthy. It'll be a good thing. And if I'm 65 and pedaling, great, more power to me. And then the universe caught up technologically, and of course in 96 had the lens implant. But I basically let go, and I made the choice to just accept the way that I am, and I am okay as a visually impaired person. This is back then. Now I'm still okay today with a lens implant. So I made that choice to let it go and just, you know, live my life, you know. When I was working for the Christian station, I would have ministers and pastors come up to me wanting to lay hands on me to heal my eyes. I refused. Now, that's where I was back then. I said, no. I said, I am not here on this planet to be healed. I am here to serve you. I am here to provide you with whatever I can to, support your ministry in that regard as the operations manager and producer here at the radio station.
What changed your mind?
Well, it's not so much that it changed my mind as much as I basically, this is what I told him. I said, look, God, as I referred back then, God knows where I am, and you know what? He or she can call me collect. I'll take the charges, okay? but I'm not going to sit around and wait. I've got too much I want to do in this life. I was given this life, and I use this analogy of an individual who, and I kind of got this from working at that station, the Christian station, got this analogy of an individual who is walking in this meadow, beautiful meadow surrounded by trees, and they're walking around, their hands are cupped in front of them, and if you could hold your will, your personal will in your hands, that's what this person's doing. And they're looking up in the sky, and they're, I want to do God's will, I want to do God's will, I want to do God's will, I want to do God's will. God is moved to tears. My creation wants to do my will. And this person tosses their will into the sky, and God catches it and begins to compress it down to the size of a baseball. Now, I'm a big baseball fan, so that's why the baseball analogy. And then rears back and hurls it at the individual in the meadow, hitting them square in the forehead, and says, then do something with the life I gave you. You are not a puppet on a string being manipulated by forces you do not understand. And I have believed that ever since, that I am in charge of my destiny, of the choices that I make. And so the choices that I have made in my life, and I was challenged on this not long ago, they said, well, but what about all the mistakes you made? And I said, I've never made a mistake in my life. I've had learning experiences, life lessons, if you will.
Mm-hmm.
So when we get to the place where we want to, you know, we want to make a shift, we're discontented, we're uneasy, we're in dis-ease, whether it's a physical, mental, emotional, or spiritual condition, and we know that we need to make a shift, then we need to figure out, okay, so if I'm going to make a shift, when am I going to make the shift to? And how am I going to do that? And that's where the research has to come in order to make the choices, to make the shifts, to especially to be happy. And now I choose to be happy. I'm not a fan of horror movies. I don't care much for watching the news. I don't like to hear about all the bad stuff that's going on because, sadly, man's inhumanity to man has been here as long as man has been here. I don't need to inundate my mind, my eyes, my ears, my brain with it. And so you make your choices. But then it's not enough just to make a choice. Now you have to take action once you've made that choice. And
that's
you need
right.
to start speaking the words that support your choice. You need to start, and I'm not necessarily speaking of affirmations, platitudes. I am saying that, well, I'll give you a prime example. You cook, right, Deborah?
Sure.
All right. So when someone eats the food that you have prepared, I would venture that you get one of two responses. The first might be, Deborah, this isn't bad. The other might be, this is good. And it's the this is bad part that you need to get rid of. Unless that's the choice you've made and you just want to be miserable the rest of your life, that's a choice too. You know, people choose to be miserable. It's not something that is thrust upon them. We choose to be that way. And I often catch myself when I'm complimenting someone. I have to stop myself if I'm a, hey, you know, this is really good, you know. So what we say, and words have power. Politicians
That's
know
right.
this. The religious know this. They know that words have power. And to that end, you need to know what your intent is. So be careful of the words that you choose, because they have impact. They really, really do. Then it's your actions. What are you doing? Where are you going? And who are you surrounding yourself with? And this kind of steps three and four kind of go together, because your personal input has to do with the books you read, the music you listen to, the movies you see, TV shows you watch, the people you surround yourself with. My present wife's ex-husband was still around when she was going through chemo, and when she was in the hospital, she would tell me that he came in and he was really negative and down and, oh my gosh, this is not good, and da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. And I told her, I'm not going to tell you to tell him not to come in, but you need to talk to him, because he's not helping you. If your choice is to live and he's not supporting that, you have every right to say, I need you to stay away for a while. And we have that right as human beings to say to another human being, I'm sorry, but I'm going down a different path. And so the whole aspect of your words and your actions and your personal input are all tied together. And changing one's environment, that can have a big deal too, but it's not enough, because you have to spend time making the shifts inside. On the radio program Tell Me Your Story, which is a podcast and video cast, we promote, first it was the year of perfect vision, 2020. Now it is the decade of perfect vision, the 2020s. And we're asking people to spend time going within, listening to that still small voice for encouragement, for inspiration, for direction, for guidance. That's what it's there for. But we've not been taught how to do that. And
exactly.
So we find it very hard.
Right. Yeah. And one of the things I think is so key is listening to your own thoughts and paying attention, like taking one day, especially at the beginning, when you're not familiar with your own thoughts, and just paying attention to what you're telling yourself. It could be about someone else. It could be about yourself. But the terminology is a wake-up call. And when you become aware of that, then you make a choice, as you know, to start choosing a different way of talking with yourself. And then when you fall back on it, and that's usually the ego that's coming forth, you have to like say, excuse me, to yourself. I'm not thinking those words anymore. I'm not thinking about that in such a way, which usually comes up around money, relationships, if you're thinking, geez, what are we going to do? There's less money coming in. You can either go down the path of fear and feed into not having enough or not being enough, or you can believe a different way. And it's all in what we choose to believe.
Exactly.
I'm really into that belief. If you believe that two people will come together in love, they will. If you believe, and that's one of the things that you talk about in the book, is about you're going to buy a house.
Yeah. When my first wife and I, we were living in we were living in a mobile home, in a mobile home park or trailer park, and the opportunity came along, pardon me, for us to purchase a brick home. I wasn't going to buy anything, but it had to be brick, okay? And it was a 3-bedroom, 2-bath, beautiful home. I loved it. I lost it in the divorce, sadly, but when we were in the process, we went to go see it on the first day of September of 1993. And we said, yeah, let's do this. Now, this is going to shock a lot of people, especially today. In 1993, my first house purchase was $43,000.
Mm-hmm.
3-bedroom, 2-bath, brick home with a 2-car driveway. And a beautiful big backyard. This was in the west. At that time, it was considered the west side of Phoenix, 83rd Avenue. Now, what I told my wife as well as myself was, okay, from this point forward, our goal is we're buying a house. We're not going to squabble with the insurance company or the mortgage company or the broker or the appraiser or anybody else that's involved in this process, okay? Basically, we took the tack that we are going to become part of the process, not try to control it. On the day of closing, the 30th of September, we were to go to the title company to sign the documents. Back then, yes, you had to take a pen in hand and sign, I don't know, 15, 20 times and get hand cramps. Nowadays, it's click, 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 click. I get a call from my realtor, Gary Neidel. He says, Richard, I just stopped by and picked up the papers to take over to the title company, and you don't have any homeowner's insurance. I said, what? Well, I talked with the people at the insurance company, which was one of the advertisers on the station I worked for, and they dropped the ball. Well,
oh boy.
Title company has contingencies for that. They have their own insurance policy company that they deal with. So it wasn't like we were not going to have title insurance or insurance, homeowner's insurance, but we weren't going to have the homeowner's insurance that we wanted that first year. I could have gotten wound up in that, called the insurance company that we had signed up with or were supposed to be signed up with, read them the Riot Act, going on and on. I thought, no. That's not what we're doing. We're buying a house. And so we went to the title company.
Now hold that thought, Richard. Hold that thought, because we need to take our last break. So everyone stay with us. More with Richard Dugan. Back in a moment.
Take a journey to a place of the divine love within with Deborah Beauvais on the Love by Intuition show, Monday through Friday at 6 p.m. and 6 a.m. Eastern. Our message is love in the purest form. The light within us all is a guide to recall our beginning, to learn to love self and humankind, and to feel the higher power of our own divinity. To attract love, one needs to be love. Come join us and step into this glorious vibration called love.
Delight your kids with an enchanting journey by reading the Paper Doll Kids children's book by Deborah Beauvais and Janine Sullivan. There's even a catchy tune, Kids for Love Song, produced by Bob Sherwood and sung by kids just like yours. The story weaves around seven paper dolls flying around the world doing good deeds as they bring important attention to our endangered animal friends. There's even a magical ring with a universal message. Kids become interested in service projects, action through compassion, and planting seeds that nurture positive change. The Paper Doll Kids and Kids for Love Song are a production of the Kids for Love Project. Get the book now on Amazon Kindle and the song on CD Baby or iTunes.
Are miracles real? Can you move from mayhem to miracles? 30 prominent authors say yes as they share their high fives and down lows of challenges, abuse, addiction, and love. Experience hope, the magic elixir of miracles, through the personal stories of New York Times bestselling authors James Redfield, Dr. Bernie Siegel, Sister Jenna, Reverend Temple Hayes, and many more. If you like bestsellers, Chaos to Clarity, and Crappy to Happy, you'll love Crying and Laughing Through Mayhem to Miracles. Sacred Stories of Transformational Hope, available now on Amazon and in bookstores worldwide.
It's a child's job to play, to learn, and to have fun. It's an adult's job to keep them safe. Did you know that 1 in 4 girls and 1 in 6 boys will be sexually abused before the age of 18? Every day, families enter the Children's Advocacy Center because of child's courage to tell someone what happened to them. Keeping our children safe starts with a conversation. This is Michelle Aranger, Executive Director of the Children's Advocacy Center. Learn more on how to keep your child safe. Visit cacofbc.org. This message made possible by the Fall River Rotary Club.
This is Dream Vision 7 Radio Network, uniting mankind with universal love. Our shows are created from the heart, bringing each listener to a place of divine enlightenment. Breathe, relax, and enjoy. Let life flow.
And we are back. If you'd like to call in, there's still some time, but hurry. The toll-free is 833-220-1200 if you have a question for Richard or a comment. And also, too,
during the break, you probably heard about the Paper Doll Kids children's book. It's now in hardcover. We actually have it for the kids, Dream Vision 7 Kids Book of the Month, so you can sign up for that right on the site and be in the drawing. We have three giveaways of books every month, and check out that hardcover that you can actually hold. So before the break, Richard was talking about the house he was buying and that he didn't receive the insurance that he expected, but he didn't chew them out. So go right ahead, Richard.
Well, and so on the 30th in the afternoon, around 2, 3 o'clock in the afternoon, I think, we drove down or got a ride down to the title company, and we signed the documents. Knowing full well that yes, your premium, your monthly premium is going to be a little higher. Yes, it is. It's going to be a little higher than we told you it was going to be, just because it just is. You know, I mean, because of the insurance. Okay, fine. Mm-hmm. We can handle that. Okay. Signed all the documents. Walked out with a cramped hand, and took ownership of this house. And, I got to tell you, for the years that I lived there, which were about six and a half years, it was beautiful. I got to tell you, I loved that house. It was fantastic. I loved it because it had a beautiful big backyard with some trees in the backyard and all of that good stuff. So bottom line is, we made that choice.
But I also think that it's important for you to share, to get the senses in there, the five senses or more. You know, when you make a choice and you want something, you need to visualize it, you need to taste it, you need to see it. So talk about the senses and how important those are. You need to be there and visualize in order for all this to come to fruition.
Oh, you're right about that. You are absolutely correct. And one of the things that, going back in time, it's very interesting. One of the things that we were very much aware of, and here is something that you probably know, but the listeners do not. Excuse me. My first wife, and even to this day, she was totally blind from birth.
Oh.
She was born in 1965.
Wow.
She was born in 65. And back then, they would put preemies, of which she was born premature, in the incubators. Now, you had a juxtaposition there. If you gave them too much oxygen, you would burn the eyes. If you didn't give them enough oxygen, you would damage the brain. Well, obviously, they went the former. Be that as it may, she was very much aware of the situation as far as the house was concerned. She was aware. She walked around the house. She got familiar with it. She wasn't running into things because she used her hands to guide her. She also had a guide dog. Shortly after we moved in there, she went to San Rafael here in California to get a guide dog. And so when she came back, now the dog is teaching her how to maneuver in the house and around the yard and around the neighborhood. And it was a very interesting process. And it's one of those situations where I want to help. I want to do something, but I can't, because then I'm interfering with that process. So I have to become a part of the process and let it unfold. And if help is needed, I will help. And I will just tell you one brief story of where I did help. We were still living at the trailer at the time with the guide dog, whose name, by the way, was Yora, Y-O-R-A, Yora dog. Mm. And we took a walk around the neighborhood adjacent to the mobile home park. And these two pit bulls came racing out of this one fenced-in area, and one clamped onto Yora's neck and the other onto its shoulder. And I get down on my hands and knees, and I am pounding away on these two pit bulls. Nothing is working. We try even, somebody brought over a chair, and I tried to hit them over the head with it, but I was afraid I was going to hit Yora. Eventually, we did get the jaws loose. I picked Yora up. Somebody came along with a truck. They took us to the vet, and Yora just sat there, didn't make a sound. It was as if she had left the body because, hey, it's not safe here. I'm out of here. Mm-hmm. And anyway, no serious damage, thank God. And after she went to the vet, it was as if it had never happened to her. It was amazing. Somebody actually said to me, what the heck were you thinking getting down on your hands and knees in front of those? They could have jumped on you. I said, yeah, well, maybe so. But the dog was obviously in distress, and I needed to do something. I couldn't just stand there. And by the way, that was also the last day I ever wore a wristwatch. I broke mine in that process. Never wore another. I haven't worn one since.
Really? No.
So choices are, I don't care where you are in your life. I don't care what your circumstances are. You always have choices. Some would say, well, yeah, but what about someone with a terminal disease? They still have choices. What about the guy on death row? He still has choices. Think about Nelson Mandela. This is an example I use regularly. 25 years of violence. He was thrown into prison for 25 years. Mm-hmm. And even he talked about this. He says, I could have chosen to continue down that same path. But we all know he didn't, because what happened? First of all, he became the president of South Africa.
I know. It's surreal. Rebel. That one person accomplished so much.
Yeah. So if you don't think you have choices, please think again. You always have choices. No matter how hemmed in, no matter how blocked and walled in you might think you are, you're not. And
that's right.
You know, it's funny how when I do my radio program, I call it my therapy.
Mm-hmm.
Because I have to not only listen to my guests' words, sometimes I have to listen to my own words. And I have to realize that, I got to take my own advice. Oh, and by the way, I just need to add this one disclaimer. None of what I have said on this program or any other program do I put on anybody else. I do not ask anybody to do anything that I have put forth, whether it's in the book or the programs or whatever other format there might be. It is for me and me alone. If you choose, coming back to choices, to incorporate parts or all of some of what I've said, and I say this facetiously and with all humility, it's on you, okay?
Mm-hmm.
We all have to make our own choices. And when I hear people screaming victimhood, like was screamed in 2016. I thought, I went through this in the 80s. I went through personal growth programs where, it's my mother's fault that I'm the way that I am, and, you know, this and that, you know. No, they did the best they could. My parents did the best they could. They even apologized to me for not being able to protect me better from the bullies. They apologized to me.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't that, and I thank you, but, you know, what are you going to do, be with me 24/7, 365? It doesn't work that way. They did the best they could. They did the best
right.
they could, and we're all just doing that. I'm also
that's
a songwriter.
That's right. We all have to find our way.
Yeah, I'm also
yeah.
a songwriter.
We only have a couple minutes left,
yeah.
Richard.
Well, I'll just share this quick.
How the
title of the song is, I'm a good man doing the best I can, and that's all I'm doing.
That's right. Now, what about the book? How would someone get that? Is it coming out soon? Or?
Well, I'm working on that, but I am more than happy for whatever contribution through PayPal you want to send. I will send you a PDF of the book. I am working on getting it published, getting the cover squared away and everything, and I'm probably going to do self-publishing. So, when you go to PayPal, which is the method I use for contributions to the radio program, the podcast, and videocast, when they ask you what email do you want us to send this to, it's richard@richarddugan.com. That's richard@richarddugan.com. And any amount would be grateful. $1, $5. Right now, that's where I'm at, and I just want to get the word out. That's why I don't have any, what do they call them, paywalls regarding the interviews, the podcasts and videocasts. I want people to get the information. I don't want there to be a block. So that's basically how I'm doing that. So if you can contribute something, great. If you'd like a copy and you can't, well, send me an email to that same email address, richard@richarddugan.com. I also have a secondary email, and it's also just as simple. It's TMYS. That's for Tell Me Your Story, TMYS@richarddugan.com. So just say, I'd like a copy of Choices.
Okay. That's beautiful. Well, I want to thank you for coming on the show, and again, thank you for having me on yours, and it's been a joy to have you spread your wisdom. And I'm so glad that you had that implant done and that you put your mind and choices to make sure that you had a home, and you did. So it's just proof that whatever you put your mind to, whatever choices you make and you follow through, and know that we have universal guidance there all the time, all we have to do is tune in and listen, then we can have our dreams come true, no matter what it is. So thank you, Richard. And for everyone listening, listen again, share the show, and join us next time when we all come together and open our hearts and learn how to heal ourselves and raise the vibration of love. That's how we are going to elevate. We're going to elevate anyway as a species. However, we can help spread love and make it happen sooner and save lives. So with that said, everyone, au revoir.
Are you seeking a clearer path to love? Then tune in to the Love by Intuition show next week. All designed to your highest good. To contact Deborah Bouffet, owner of Empowered Connections, call her at 508-226-1723. That's 508-226-1723. Or link on to lovebyintuition.com. Remember, we are all one, and we are all part of the miracle of love.
This is Dream Vision 7 Radio Network, uniting mankind with universal love. Our shows are created from the heart, bringing each listener to a place of divine enlightenment. Breathe, relax, and enjoy. Let life flow.